Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So if you engage in the discipline of the month, make sure you sign your name out there. And if you don't know, which I'm assuming most of you do, this is, well, who is this?
Barclay.
Yeah, there might be a picture that we can put up there. I don't know if I got back there, but is there a picture we can throw up of Barclay? There he is. If you don't know, Barclay is a Newfoundland. They're known for being large, fuzzy, cute, in love with Shifra, and it's reciprocated, right, of course. They also are known for being a little slobbery, hence you can't leave home without the slobber rag. But I want to tell you something about Barclay. You know this if you've been here any length of time. He is an incredibly well-behaved dog. I mean, isn't it amazing? What is he doing right here? What is this thing called? It's, of course, it's called walking. Thank you. But when a dog stays right by your side, it's called? He is healing. It's called healing. Oh, and he's a little nervous of the ledge. Look at that. Have you ever seen those dogs where you're not sure who's walking who? Like they're yanking their arms, right? But watch this. Watch what happens when I turn around. I don't even have to say anything. Ooh. Very impressive. I want to tell you something about this obedience that Barclay has. We'll give him a little place to sit on the rug. There you go. You want to lay down for a bit? Go ahead. It's hard work being up here. I know, Bark. Good boy. We'll leave this with you. His obedience didn't come easy. In fact, when he was a little puppy, he's almost 9 years old. In fact, in 3 days, he'll be nine. Happy birthday, Barclay. When we got him, thank you. When we got Barclay as a little itty-bitty puppy, I took him to the vet, and he was rambunctious, and I remember exactly the first words the vet said to me when he met Barclay. He said, "Oh my, you're going to have your hands full." But he's so well-behaved now because we worked at it, right? I mean, how many of you, the thought of having your dog on stage while you're teaching would give you fits, right? You couldn't do that. But we worked at it, and I've said this before. When he was the first 6 months in our home, we spent literally, no exaggeration, 2 hours a day working on his obedience. He knows to stay there until I tell him to get up. I can leave him in my office when I'm preaching most Sundays with the door wide open, and he won't leave the office because he knows where to go. But it was hard to come by. He had to work at it. And I'll be honest, he's not our first Newfoundland. We had one before him. It was an adopted Newfie. He's a couple years old. Her name was Savannah. I almost rather would have had a cat than that dog. You see, this dog was 2 years old when we got her. And no matter how much energy and time we put into her obedience, she had already had her mind made up the 2 years before she came our way. And there was no getting her to fall in line. And I learned something about this guy right here, that obedience is a choice. Somebody say choice. And he has fortunately made the choice. And in making the choice to be obedient to his master, you know what happens to Barclay? He's a joyful dog in his own doggy joyful way. I mean, your dog doesn't go to work with you on a regular basis. Your dog doesn't get to be the pastor of greeting at the river. I'm not kidding you. On Sunday mornings, Christy can attest to this. Whenever I come down during the week, he just kind of looks at me. But on Sunday morning, when I come down the stairs, he is ready to go because he knows there's something different about Sunday. And that different thing is his joy increases because he gets to say hi to all of you. There's something about obedience that leads to joy. And because he's obedient to me, we just get to hang out more. Right? If he was not an obedient dog, I wouldn't enjoy his company as much. But when we are like in a good obedient thing going on there, he gets to hang out with me. Or we could say it this way, he gets to remain in my love. That's a good thing for that dog, trust me. And because he's an obedient dog, he's fruitful. I'm using Bible language now, right? Not that he is a fruitful, but he bears fruit. He brings joy wherever he goes. Christy and I, where were we, Christy? We were in Grand Rapids a little bit ago, just walking around this year's art prize. And I'm not kidding you, we couldn't go 10 steps without people just flocking to see Barclay. And everybody who came upon Barclay left with a big fat smile. In fact, there was one guy who was sitting on a bench. He might have been a homeless guy. And we walked by and Barclay just went right over to him. And the guy said, "Wow, this dog made my day." Obedience. We're in John chapter 15, aren't we?
Yes.
We've been in John for almost two complete years. Jesus says this: "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Somebody say, complete joy. "My command is this," Jesus says: "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for one's friends." To lay one's life down for one's friends. And then Jesus says this: "And you're my friends." Somebody say, good news. "You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you," any guesses? What does Jesus call them?
Friends.
Somebody say, friends.
"Friends.
Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you and called you and sent you to bear fruit, much fruit, fruit that lasts, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name will be given to you. This is my command: love each other." Now, in case you missed it, let me say that again. Jesus says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." Somebody say, remain. "Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy would be in you and your joy would be complete. My command is this." My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for one's friends. You are my friends if you obey my command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and called you to bear much fruit, so that whatever you'll ask in my Father's name will be given to you. This is my command: love each other." Somebody say, thank you, Barclay. Barclay, you have helped us understand that obedience is a good thing. The command from Jesus is simply this: to love. The command is to love. It's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. The command is to
love.
Say it like you mean it. The command is to
love.
Now, don't you kind of wish it was harder than that? Because if I could stand up here and break down some obscure, abstract, theological conundrum, then we might feel smarter and I might feel better about myself because we've done something difficult. But I'm telling you, Jesus makes the command simple. It's simply to love. Sometimes in our pursuit to look for something challenging, we miss the profundity of the simple command, which is simply to love. When training a dog, you don't want to say something like, "Hey, Barclay, I think you should go over there on that square or that circle thing by the microphone stand and sit down, then lay down, and then put your head down." You know what you need to say when you're training a dog? Down, stay. The simpler the command, the more readily obeyed. I wonder if you people are going to be okay with the following, especially you cat people. I think if we went the way of Barclay, the world would be a better place. If we went the way of that dog right there, the world would be a better place. What I mean simply is if we would simply obey the master's simple command, down, stay, we would be better off and the world would be better off. The master, through my voice, is telling us simply to love. Love. Now, full disclosure, underneath this fluffy neck of his, he's got this thing called a pinch collar. Let me see if I can take that off. Can I see this bark? There we go. Oh, freedom. Yeah. Any volunteers for me to put this on and try something? This is helpful for Barkley. It reminds him that when this thing is on, it's time to obey. And you can see without it, he runs wild. The reality is that Jesus uses a two-letter word. Okay, pick your head up a second. Thank you. The word is if you obey. There ain't no pinch collar on our necks calling us to do this command of love. Jesus is a little nicer to us than maybe I am to Barkley. He doesn't put a pinch collar and says, I'm going to make you do it. He says, I'm going to give you a choice to do it. If. And so the command, my friends, is to love. Y'all like that idea?
Yes.
Somebody say, I like that idea. How many of you want to obey that command? If you want to obey that command, say yeah or something. Yeah. Yeah, me too. But you know what? Saying you want to obey is different than actually obeying. A mental acquiescence to the topic is different than embracing and doing the topic. Saying and doing ain't the same thing. One of the smart old dead guys I read on a weekly basis, he says this, deciding to obey is not equal to obeying. Somebody say, huh. Yeah. Loudly affirming the necessity of obedience, I must love, loudly affirming this, it's not the same as obedience. Jesus doesn't suggest that you think about loving. He commands us to love. So last week, while working through the Gospel of John, chapter 15, when I went back and looked at the time of my time on stage, I preached for 44 minutes and 50 seconds. Some of you are excited about that. Some of you were just hungry. We're going to balance it out today. I've been on stage for 13 minutes. I only need a few more before we dismiss ourselves to complete the sermon. The problem, though, is some of you are going to be upset because it was only, you know, 15, 20-minute message as opposed to a 41. The problem is you're going to hear this nice word of sit, stay, down, all that stuff. The command is to love. And you're going to go here and you're going to go the way of that dog that we got rid of who didn't obey. Savannah's way isn't as good as Barkley's way. So I'm going to dismiss you early to do something. Oh, man. Don't you hate that? Don't you like when you can just be a spectator in your faith? But when there's a call to actually act upon the thing we've been hearing about, oh, that puts us in the spot, and I'd rather do 100 other things, but I'm telling you, the command is to love, and it's not a command to ponder today and maybe put into practice tomorrow. It's a command to love, not to reflect on how well you did it yesterday, although if you did it yesterday, way to go. It's a command to love today. And so in a few short minutes, I'm going to dismiss you early, and I'm going to give you the charge, the homework, the commission to go find somebody to love. Let me help you out, though. According to Smalley and Trent, there are 5 love languages. And I'm going to let you choose one of these. Does anybody know the 5 love languages? One of them is physical touch. Now be careful with this one, okay? Because you don't want to go to prison. You don't want to walk up to strangers and just start hugging people you don't know, right? The cops called. However, there's something about a strong handshake with a hand on the shoulder that says, I'm glad to see you today. And so maybe the obedience to the command to love for you when you leave here is to find somebody that the Spirit is prompting and just go give them a high five. Go give them some knuckles. Go up to them and say, hey, it's good to see you. Rub them behind the ears just like this. You know, over by the Circle K on my way to work on a regular basis, that's a hot spot for some of the folks, you know, begging, asking for handouts. I never give them any tangible thing, but I give them something that I've found that they actually like. Have you ever pulled up there and the red light turns and they're right there, and in your head you're like, oh, crap. Really? Are you going to feel that way? And I can see people sneak forward and not look at them, right? But every time I pull up there, I give them something. I give them a big wave. Sometimes I'll roll down the window and say, how's the day? Making anything? And once in a while, I'll stick my long arm out the window, and I get a fist bump. And there's one guy, I'm not making this up, every time I drive an orange Jeep, it's pretty noticeable, when he sees my Jeep, he starts waving from a distance. Because I took the time just to obey a command and give him a fist bump. So maybe you just need to give somebody a fist bump who hasn't been fist bumped in years. Time. It's one of the love languages. Maybe there's somebody in your world who just needs your time. Maybe you just need to spend time with somebody, listening to them, giving them both ears, and remembering that you have one mouth and two ears, right? It's that way for a reason. Yes. Many of us act like we have three mouths and one ear, but maybe you simply need to give the time to somebody who has been lonely. Your time is an act of love that you need to bring to somebody. Are you understanding me?
Yes.
The command is love. A third love language is gifts. You know, I've seen it done. I haven't done this, but I have a friend who does this. Goes to McDonald's once in a while and spends $20 and gets 20, McDoubles over there. And just drives around town and sees somebody who's, and here's a hamburger for you. Or maybe you know that friend who's been a little under the weather because, like, the Lions have been sick all season long. And they need you just to bring them like a soda. 79 cents, 84 cents plus tax over at the Circle Gate. Just go spend 84 cents and bring somebody a pop. And say, hey, I was thinking of you today. The gift doesn't have to be extravagant or it doesn't have to be anything, but maybe just a gift is the way that you're being called to obey this command today to love. A fourth love language is acts of service. Maybe that shut-in next door needs you to rake her yard. Maybe your father-in-law who's got a broken leg, this was true for us, needs somebody to go rake the yard. My wife went up on Friday and helped get ready for the winter. Maybe you need to serve somebody in your own home. Maybe some form of service is the command that you will obey today as you obey this command. Fifthly, words of affirmation. Maybe you simply need to go up to somebody before you even leave. This might be the best one for you because you can get this out of the way and say, whew, I did it, and go about my day. Maybe you need to go up to somebody and say, man, it is good to see you today. I always like when I see you. You bring joy to my life. I'm just so happy that I call you my friend. Somebody's dying to hear a kind word, and maybe you're the one who's going to bring life to them through the act of love of bringing a word of affirmation. You have been given a command, and that command is to love each other. I'm telling you, we can learn a lot from obedient dogs. Obedience is not oppression. This guy right here, if he could talk, would be the first to tell you that obedience is the way to freedom. That's how I envision him talking. Obedience to the commands of the master is the way to freedom. You've been given a command to love. Now, before I dismiss you, I've been up here for 19 minutes. I better hurry up if I want to make this shorter than usual. Maybe before you love anybody else, maybe the command to go love, you got to begin with yourself. Maybe you need to love yourself before you love somebody else. Because if you're hating yourself, it's hard to love somebody else. Maybe you need to let yourself off the hook. Maybe you've done something really stupid. If you have, consider yourself human. You know that Jesus doesn't hold that against you. Maybe it's time to let it go. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you just did something you didn't want to do. Maybe you failed at a thing. I'm telling you, maybe you just need to let it go. You know why I added this to the teaching right here? Because last night I got up in front of the 5:30 crowd and I began to quote the scripture from memory and I forgot it all. And then my mind went blank. Have you ever had your mind go blank? And I didn't have my computer with me because I had it all right here and it was all memorized. And I'm just like, oh, well, God says love, go love. And 10 minutes later, they were all gone and I felt horrible. I went home to Christy. I said, Christy, I failed. Oh, I hate that feeling. And you know, all you can say nice things to your head. I know it's no big deal. I know I'll do better tomorrow. I know there's next week. I know everybody's kind and Christy's saying all the nice things. But deep down, it's hard to let yourself off the hook when you drop the ball, isn't it? But before, amen. Yeah, cough that out. Some of you just need to cough that junk out. Maybe you need to let yourself off the hook because when you fail, that's not forever. And maybe you need to let yourself off the hook. Maybe you need to let the love of the Lord hit yourself so that you can love yourself so that you can love somebody else. Amen. You've been given a command. Love. If you're a follower of Christ, don't forget your joy boxes or your My Church, My Serve tables. If you're a visitor, so glad you're here. Ask somebody what that's about. We usually explain, but today you got to get out of here and do some loving. Prayer booth to the left. Welcome people to the right. Have a good week. See you next week. Go love somebody. Let's go.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.